Most of the Mishnayos in the previous perek talked about different laws of a tanur, which is a kind of oven, which is narrower at the top and wider at the bottom, and is used to bake bread. The dough would be placed on the inside walls of the oven, and this kind of oven was called a tanur. The focus of the next two prokim is a kira, which is the stove of the times of the Mishnah. And the classic kira would be like an upside-down box, and the fire would be lit at the bottom of, sort of inside this upside-down box, and on top of the stove would be the food which is being cooked in a pot. Now, this perek talks of different cases of more basic stoves, which weren't an actual structure like an upside-down box, but rather it talks about stoves which are made up of individual stones or pieces of clay which were attached to the ground and designated for placing a pot on top of those two stones and the fire placed in between them. So instead of being a fully closed stove, the Mishnayos talk about cases where there are just two different things placed on the ground or three different things designated for balancing a pot on top of those items and putting a fire in between them on the ground. And the first case is Ha'isa Shalosha Pipudin Ba'aretz, one who makes three clay feet, three pieces of clay which he places on the ground, the Chibron Batit, and he attaches them with cement or clay at the top. So you place these things on the ground in a form of a triangle, and he placed cement at the top of them, in going from each one of those clay pieces to the other, much like a tripod. In fact, the Bartanura over here uses the word tripod to describe the structure of these three pieces and how they are attached to each other. Lies Shavus Alein and Sakadeira, the purpose of the cement on top of the three pieces is in order that he be able to place a pot on top of them and light a fire underneath in the area in between them and cook the food on top of that kind of tripod. Says the Mishnah, Tomeo, it can become Tome, and in fact, we view it all as one structure of earthenware, such that if a source of impurity even enters the airspace in between those three pieces, then it would all become Tome. And this is even if the three pieces themselves are not actually attached to the ground, they're just placed on top of the ground. The clay or cement which is on top of them, attaching them at the top, that is enough to associate each of those three pieces with each other and thus create one stove which can become Tome. The next case is Kol HaShleisha Masmarin Ba'aretz, if he fixed three metal nails into the ground, by fixing them to the ground, that is enough to associate each one of them with the other two nails, even without placing the cement to attach them at the top. The nails are considered to be associated with each other and connected by the fact that they are all placed in the ground. So in this case, he did it once again, is Shavus Alein Sakadeira, in order to be able to place a pot on top of them and light a fire in between. Afal Pisha also Bereshon Mokim Shateakadeira Sheves, even if he made at the top of each of the nails a small kind of lid or cover of each nail made out of clay, earthenware, much like the nails that we have nowadays, at the top of the nail it gets wider. The Mishnah is saying that even if that wider part was made out of clay and earthenware, since the main structure of the nail itself is made out of metal, so this would have the status of a metal stove, which is attached to the ground. Now, we learned in the previous perek that only an earthenware oven that is attached to the ground can become Tome. But if the oven or stove is made out of anything else, then we follow the regular law that anything attached to the ground cannot become Tome. It cannot be considered a kli. And as such, the Mishnah says that Tahira, this stove, these three pieces which form together a metal stove, would not be able to become Tome, since it's considered to be a metal stove attached to the ground. According to this, if he would somehow manage to stand the nails up by themselves without attaching them to the actual ground, then the three nails together would be able to become Tome, as long as there's something at the top attaching them to each other. Now that they're not attached to the ground, in order for each one of those nails to be associated with the other two, they would need to be connected from the top. But if somehow you had managed to connect them from the top and they would stand up by themselves without being attached to the ground, then indeed they would become Tome as a metal stove. We learned in the previous perek an interesting rule that if a kli cannot really be used, for example, if there is a hole in it and the kli is repaired and made usable by a small piece of earthenware being added to it, then even if the rest of the kli is actually made of a different material, since the thing that turns it into a kli, that makes it usable, is earthenware, the entire kli, the entire utensil, gets the status of an earthenware kli. So for example, if a source of impurity entered even the airspace of it, it would become tomei, just like earthenware utensils. Because of that, if somebody makes two stones into a stove, the stones are larger than the small clay pieces or the nails that were discussed in the previous two cases. So here we don't actually need three of them, two would be sufficient to be able to balance a pot on those two stones. So those two stones are placed next to each other on the ground. They're not attached to the ground, but they're placed next to each other on the ground. V'chibron betit, and he attaches them at the top with cement or clay. As we saw in the first half of the Mishnah, in order to associate the different parts of this stove, which is made up of different pieces, to associate them with each other and thus create one kli, to look at them all as the same, different parts of the same kli, there needs to be something that attaches them to each other. So either they need to be attached to the ground, and then the ground in between them connects all of them, or they need to be attached at the top. So in this case, they are attached at the top, and thus they are considered to be two parts which make together in between them a stove, and tomeo, it can become tomei. Now it should be noted that we see in this Mishnah an addition to that which we learned in the previous perek. In the previous perek we learned that if you have a utensil, a kli that can't be used without the addition of the clay or the earthenware, and the additional small piece of earthenware which allows it to be used makes the entire kli into an earthenware utensil. This Mishnah takes it a step further, because these two stones can be used even without the clay attaching them together. You've got two stones next to each other with a small distance in between them, and you're able to balance a pot on top of them. So the clay which is attaching them together is not really necessary to allow the stove to be used. What is the function of the clay which is attaching the two stones together? For us to be able to view them as two parts of the same kli. Even that is enough to give the entire kli made up of these two parts the status of an earthenware kli, and thus even though in general stone cannot become tomei at all, this has the status of an earthenware stove and therefore it can become tomei. Rabbi Yehuda Mataher. Rabbi Yehuda says that this stove would not be able to become tomei ad she'yaseh shlishis unless he makes a third stone, because otherwise it hasn't got enough of a form of a stove. It's just two different stones which are next to each other, there's nothing closing off this area in between them, and thus it wouldn't have the status of a kli unless there is a third stone there, or he places the two stones next to a wall, and the wall would thus serve as the third side of this stove. And in this case, in order to associate all three parts of the stove together, they would need to be attached. It's not enough just to attach two of the stones, but you would need to attach all three of them, achas petit v'achas shloi petit. If one of the pairs of stones is attached, but the third one isn't attached with cement or clay, then Tehoyrai would not be able to become Tomei. Only if all three parts are connected, it would be able to become Tomei, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Mishnah Beis. The previous Mishnah talked about individual pieces combining together to make up a stove, and the way that each of the individual pieces associates with the other two pieces of this, so to speak, stove is are being attached at the top. We also saw one case of the nails where they were attached at the bottom. And this Mishnah continues to talk of cases which the individual pieces are attached at the bottom, meaning they're attached to the ground, and the ground in between the pieces is what attaches them. And in this case, it is necessary that each of the individual pieces be of a material that can become tomei in order for them to combine and make a stove that can become tomei. And since the Mishnah is going to talk about stones which are attached to the ground, stone can never become tomei by itself, and only if it is attached to the ground with clay would that individual stone be considered itself an earthenware kli, or an earthenware piece, and thus combine with the other pieces of this stove to create a earthenware kira, an earthenware stove. But again, the condition is that each of the individual pieces is considered to be something that can become tomei. And then they would combine together to make a stove that indeed is considered a kli and can become tomei. And the Mishnah explains, a stone on which a pot is supposed to balance on between that and a oven. That is to say, there is an oven which is attached to the ground, and a little distance away from there is a stone which is attached to the ground with clay. And the stone is at the same height as the oven, and the purpose of the stone is to allow a person to balance a pot in between the oven and this stone which is situated next to it, and to place a fire in between the oven and the stone, and thus be able to cook there in that area in between the oven and the stone. So as well as using the oven, of course, as her way to cook in the oven itself, he also wants to be able to cook in between the oven and the stone. There should be a, so to speak, stove in that area. So let's think about it. The oven itself obviously can become tomei, and the stone piece which has been attached with clay to the ground is also considered to be an earthenware piece, so these two can combine to make up a stove that will be able to become tomei. Likewise, Olehov al Akira, if he wants to balance the pot on this stone and a different stove, so you have a stove and a stone attached with clay to the ground at a little distance away from it, and he wants to put a fire in between those two things and then place a pot in between at the top. Once again, since each of the individual pieces is considered to be earthenware, it's something that can become tomei, they combine together via the ground in between them to make it one stove that can become tomei. Oleo vala kupach. And likewise, if he wants to balance it in between this stone and a kupach is also a kind of stove, just whereas a kira has space for two pots to be placed on top of it, a kupach has space only for one pot to be placed on top of the stove itself. But either way, we're talking about the area in between the stove and the stone, and the Mishnah says that tomei, it can become tomei as one united stove, since all of the individual pieces are fitting to become tomei. They just need to make up a kli. So to the extent that the ground in between them associates each of them with the other two, and we view it all as a stove, a kira, it can all become tomei. There is a diagram to show what exactly the case under discussion is. On the other hand, if he places the stone there and attaches it with clay to the ground, but the other thing on the other side, which he's going to use to balance the pot, is something which cannot become tomei. It's not fitting to become tomei at all. For example, Olehov alo Even, if he wants to balance it on this stone which is attached to the ground with clay, and on the other side is a stone, but the stone is by itself, it's not attached with clay to the ground. Or Olehov ala Sela, he wants to balance it on the stone on one side, and on the other side is a rock attached to the ground, not just a stone, but it's actually part of the ground, a rock, but obviously that can't become tomei in terms of itself, and thus it can also not combine with a different piece to make a stove that can become tomei, because part of this stove is something which is not fitting to become tomei at all. Or Olehov ala Kleisel, if he wants to balance it on this and a stone wall, once again, since the stone wall cannot become tomei, it's not a material that can become tomei at all by itself, it also can't combine with the other stone to make a stove that can become tomei, and therefore tahira, in all these cases, the stove would not be able to become tomei. This is how the stove of Nazirim was made in Yerushalayim. A Nazir is somebody who accepts upon himself certain prohibitions. He can't cut his hair, he can't drink wine, amongst other things, and a person is able to become a Nazir for a given period of time. At the end of the period of Naziris, he is obligated to bring certain korbanos, certain sacrifices, and one of those korbanos, one of the sacrifices, is a korban shalomim that he is able to eat. And he would cook the meat of the korban shalomim in a particular chamber in the Beis HaMikdash, and they would use a stove which was made in this fashion, that it was reliant upon rock which was attached to the ground, and thus it wasn't able to become tomei, and that was a way to avoid any possibility of it becoming tomei over there, and of course a korban which becomes impure, tomei, needs to be burnt. Continues the Mishnah, Kirasat HaBochim, a stove of cooks. A cook would obviously need to use many different stoves, and the case under discussion is where Bizmanshu Noisin Evan Bitzar Evan, it's a case where he places a stone next to another stone, next to another stone, and there are thus a number of stones which are attached to the ground with clay. So each part of this structure is something which is able to become tomei, it's fitting to become tomei. The clay which attaches it to the ground turns it into an earthenware item, so if it attaches with another stone which is also attached to the ground with clay, then it would be able to become tomei. So we look at this as multiple different stoves which are next to each other. And the question of the Mishnah is, what happens if nitmes achas mehen, one of these stoves becomes tomei, meaning a source of impurity enters into the airspace in between two of the stones? The question is, do we view all of these stoves which are directly next to each other as one large structure, one extended stove, or perhaps as many different stoves, many different kelim. And the Mishnah says, we look at them as many different kelim, and therefore, lenit mukulom, not all of the stones, these stoves, become tamei. And this is very similar to the case we learnt earlier on in the Masechta, in the second perek, of boxes which have multiple sections inside of those boxes, used for keeping spices and other items inside of them. And over there we also learnt that if one of the sections becomes tomei, it won't necessarily make all of the sections tomei, because we view each of those sections as an individual part in and of itself, which would not necessarily make the entire structure tomei. Mishnah Gimel, Shalosh Avonim She'asanu Shtei Kirayim, if there are three stones attached to the ground with clay, made into two stoves, meaning you can balance a pot in between stone number one and stone number two, and also in between stone number two and stone number three. They're placed in a line, one next to the other. If one of the outer stones, either number one or number three, becomes tomei because of a source of impurity touched one of them, then haim tzois, the status of the middle stone, hamashamesh sa tomeya tomeya, the half which serves the tomei stone, that is to say, the half which is nearer to the stone which became tomei, and which together with that stone allows a pot to be balanced on them, that is considered to be part of that kli, of that stove, and therefore tomei, it would become tomei, whereas hamashamesh sa tohira, the half of the middle stone which is nearer to the other stone which remained pure, tahira would also be pure. We split this middle stone into half, because indeed it is part of two different stoves, in exactly the same way as we saw in the case of the box, which has many different sections. We view each wall of the sections as being half part of this section and half part of the other section. Now the Mishnah adds something fascinating, and just for clarity's sake, we're going to name the stones. We've got stone number one, number two, number three. Each is placed next to each other, and number one became tomei. So in that case, half of number two would also become tomei with it, whereas number three remains tohar, as well as the half of number two, which is nearest to number three. Nitla ha-tohira, if the tohar stone, number three, is taken away, he gets rid of the clay at the bottom, he takes it away, and now we're remaining with two stones. Now the entire function of stone number two is only in order to assist stone number one in balancing a pot in between them, and therefore we no longer look at that stone as being half-half. Rather, the middle stone, which is now just not a middle stone, it's stone number two, becomes definitively attached and connected and associated with stone number one, which is impure. And therefore, the entire stone would become tomei. We now have one stove made up of two stones, which is totally tomei. Continues the Mishnah, it works the other way around as well. Nitla tamea, if the tomei stone, stone number one, gets taken away, and now there remains only those two stones attached to the ground, the middle stone, stone number two, gets definitively associated with the pure stone, and thus all of it would now become tahar. So until now, Mishnah talked about a case where only stone number one became tomei. What happens if if the two outer stones, stone number one and stone number three, become tomei? What is the status of the middle stone? It might say, if the middle stone was very large, it was wide, such that not the entire width of the stone is really used as part of the stove. The edges of the stone is used to balance a pot on it, but the middle of the stone is never really used for the pot to be placed on it, because it's a wide stone. Mishnah says, we, so to speak, give the amount of the area of the stone which is needed for balancing the pot, we give that over to the side stones, meaning that part of the stone is considered to be part of the side stoves, and that part of the stone would be able to become tomei, whereas vash'ar tahar, the rest of the stone in the middle, which is never used as part of the stove, it's never used as part of the area of the stone on which the pot is balanced, that would remain tahar, because that part is not part of the stove, and it's not associated with the outer tomei stones. But if the middle stone was small, which means that it wasn't even wide enough that two pots can be placed at the same time, if a pot is being balanced on the middle stone and one of the outer stones, there wouldn't be enough room in the middle stone to also use it at the same time to balance a pot between the other stone and the middle stone. So in that case, of course, the entire stone is part of the stove, and therefore akol tomei, all of the stone would become tomei in this case where the two outer stones became tomei. Continues the Mishnah. So in this case, we have stone number one and stone number three, which became Tomei, and then Nitlohem Tzoyes, the middle stone gets taken away. Until now, there were two different stoves. Now the middle stone has been taken away. Neither of those two stoves is still usable. Only if he's able to place a large, wide pot and balance that in between the two outer stones, so it would be a much wider pot, then Tomei. The two stones would remain Tomei because they're still usable as a stove. There would be a different kind of stove now, but they're still a stove and they can become Tomei. However, Hechazira, if he then puts back the middle stone, Tahira, all of the stones would be Tahar. Because once the middle stone was taken away, we now look at it as one large stove. If you place a stone in the middle, you're essentially breaking up that larger stove. You can no longer use it as a large stove and place a fire in the middle, because there's a stone in the way. And at the same time, we don't view it now as it was once, two different stoves, because that's a new creation. You're turning one larger stove into two, which is essentially breaking this larger stove, and therefore, the stones would not be able to, would lose their status of tuma. That having been said, you're able to create a new stove, so merch betit, if you attach the middle stone with clay, just like the other stones are attached to the ground with clay. So now you're left with three stoves, which are able to become tomei, mekabeles tuma. Each of those stoves, each of the stones can become tomei, mishiasi kenok ledibashal oleo esabitza. Once he heats up each of the stoves enough to be able to cook an egg on top of them, which is the minimum amount of heat necessary to allow a new stove to become Tomei, and we now look at them as new stoves, which are able to become Tomei in the future, but they do not go back to their original status of being Tomei, since it's now a new stove. The original stove was broken. If there were two stones placed next to each other, thus making a stove, and they became Tomei, and then somach lozoi even achas mekan, v'zozoi even achas mekan. He placed an additional stone on either side of the two stones. So we now have four stones, which are all, of course, attached to the ground with clay. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to become tomei. So each of these tomei stones now has another stone, which is tahar, next to it. Until now, there was one stove, which was in between the two tomei stones. But now those tomei stones also function as part of a stove together with a tahar stone. And therefore the half which is nearest to the tahar stone, which has now been added, is now looked upon as separate from the half which is nearer to the tomei stone. And therefore, with regards to both of those middle stones, half of it will be tomei, that's referring to the inner half of both of them, which is nearest to the other tomei stone, whereas the outer half of these stones, which is nearest to the outer stones, which are tahar, would be tahar. If after that nitluat tahirais, the two outer stones which are pure get taken away, then chazru elu, these inner stones go back letum osan to being fully tomei, because now once again we view them as just one stove, and they're only associated with each other, and therefore they're both totally tomei, because they're only functioning as a stove for that middle area, and therefore they are both fully tomei.